Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork, One Another. The date today is the 5th of September 2009 and the time is 3:20 a.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you come from.
My name is Dr. Mark Thomas Fox. My age is 38 and I come from Belfast in Northern Ireland.
How are you today?
Well, I'm doing pretty well at this sort of unearthly time in the morning, but I think it's been worthwhile to make my way down to London to get my R on the plinth.
And can I ask, first of all, what was it that motivated you to put yourself forward for One Another?
Well, I'm always very interested in art. I started to do sort of life drawing and I was very aware of Anthony Gormley as an artist. I know his sort of signature work is The Angel of the North, but there's other aspects of his work, especially to do with his life models, that I find fascinating. So I'm very interested in art, so I like to sort of be part in a bit of an extrovert at heart.
And when you found out that you had got a place on the plinth, how did you decide how to spend your hour on it?
Well, to spend an hour, I've been very interested in yoga and meditation, and for the past year I've been doing yoga each week with my yoga teacher from Nepal. So I've brought my yoga mat along, and what I aim to do is to try and sort of meditate for an hour. The way that I thought about it is that sort of in Nepal or Tibet, you always think about somebody on the top of a mountainside meditating. So I think on the plinth, you're raised above everybody else. So I think I'll be able to achieve it.
And why did you decide to do this?
I suppose I was trying to think of something that was creative and original and was a significant part of my life at the minute. Normally, every month I would go to a meditation class anyway with my yoga teacher, which would actually be today. So I look forward, because it's a clear night, there's a full moon, and I shall see if I can achieve a sort of peace and sort of be able to actually get some rest as well up there.
How are you feeling about doing this now that you're actually here?
Well, I'm very looking forward to it. I know I'm a little bit not really nervous, in the sense that normally I work as a teacher and a lecturer, so I have no problem at all sort of public speaking or in front of an audience. And to me, I feel that if I'm up there in the plinth, it's my own little space and I'll be able to do what I want to do.
And what kind of experience are you hoping to get out of taking part in One Another overall, do you think?
Well, to me, I would like to be able to see that people get to know me, and I can use it as part of my sort of like art. I'll be doing more life drawing, and I'm very sort of interested in maybe becoming an actor or doing something sort of artistic apart from just science. So I think it's my moment.
What sparked your interest in yoga?
Basically, I started to sort of like use it as a means to sort of cope with the stresses of life, and also to get fit. And as part of getting into it, I noticed that it was changing my physical shape, but also my mental philosophy as well. And it sort of became maybe even addictive. And I now sort of like do it every week. And I think it's one of the best things I've done in my life for a long time, and it has made a difference to my whole personality, and I feel more positive about myself now.
In what way?
I feel that because of the yoga, I can actually compose myself more. I have better posture, and I feel more confident in how I look, but also as well as how my be able to sort of focus my mind.
Can I ask you about your working life now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a scientist by training. Initially, I did a degree in biochemistry in Queen's University Belfast, and then after that, I did a PhD in the University of Cambridge. And I've worked as a research scientist and a university lecturer and sort of given talks around the world and mainly in medical research. And after a while, I enjoyed teaching and informing people about science, so I retrained to be a science teacher or a chemistry teacher. So these days, I suppose, I enjoy science, but I've become more creative. I've done pottery, and I suppose I'm very, probably I'm inside a frustrated artist or a frustrated musician, but I still like science, and I like getting people enthusiastic about science.
Which area of science are you most passionate about?
I'm very passionate about anything that's to do with medical research, mainly to do with sort of different sort of the aspects of the human body or the mind. Throughout my sort of research career, I've worked in a variety of different areas, and I would have like a wide variety of knowledge. I like to understand things and understand the big world, whether it's chemistry, physics, or biology. And I always like to explain it to people to make it sort of enhance their understanding so that they don't get bogged down with the jargon and the big words. And that's something that I think I've got a talent to explain sort of complex situations and make people very interested.
What does science mean to you personally? You've invested a lot of your career in this field. What does it mean to you?
For me, I've always been curious about the world and curious about what makes things tick, or whether objects or sort of the living world and how it understands. If there's something that I'm not aware of, I'll always be curious about it. I'm always very open to new ideas, and I love people who have knowledge and have new experiences, whether travel experiences or anything at all that they can tell me. And I love to be able to sort of make people interested and maybe get them to understand something that and sort of switch them on. To me, I've always been fascinated about how things work, especially how the human body works or different aspects of physics and biology. And I like, I suppose, why I'm interested in art and creativity is because I like to see objects, whether it's molecules, and see them in three dimensions. And I can see the creativity in biology or chemistry or physics that maybe other scientists don't see. I can see like a molecule, its shapes, its colors, or the, you know, different sort of flora and plants.
And you mentioned that you've said a few times you've got a big interest in art. What do you think about this project?
I find this project very fascinating because it's the day-to-day public out there, and it's this idea of a living sculpture, 24 hours. And normally when you look at a sculpture or something, whether it's a bronze sculpture or it's a marble sculpture like Michelangelo, it's static, and the sculpture doesn't move. You move around the sculpture, you look at it, and the sculpture, like a photograph, captures it at one form. Now we're looking at people, they're either can be moving around, they're living, they're breathing, they're talking, so therefore this should be more interesting. And even if you get bored with me, there's somebody else might be interesting after me.
And you mentioned also an interest in becoming an actor. Would you like to say a little bit about that and what it is about acting that you'd like to get involved in?
To me, I have always been sort of entertaining, whether as a lecturer or as a teacher. I've always got a funny story, and I try to sort of like enthusiastic or impress people. Sometimes if you're working as a teacher, you do have to put on an act, and sometimes you are a pure entertainer. In other words, when people are at school or at university, people remember me as Dr. Fox because they can remember me maybe entertaining them in a lecture while they're not being interested in the actual science. Likewise in the schools as well, you always remember a teacher who is more entertaining. And it's either that or I'd like to be a great author, but I think I'm too lazy to sit down and write a book. So I'd rather actually just have a play of my life and play it. And my joke is, if I couldn't act my own life, I would either get somebody else to act it, and it would be the young Dr. Fox. The old Dr. Fox would be Robert De Niro, and the young Dr. Fox would be Daniel Day-Lewis. But I think I'm interested, to be able to sort of entertain people or to get into an impression, and I think I've got that.
Are you still lecturing now? Is that what you do for a living?
I teach, I'm a sort of like a substitute chemistry teacher. At the minute in Northern Ireland, it's quite difficult to try and find teaching jobs. So at one stage I went for an interview to teach in Australia, in the outback in Australia. And I was thinking about that. It was successful, but then I sort of thought, would I really want to move to the middle of the outback, and the only company would be Skippy the Kangaroo? So, but I think my teaching qualifications, my qualifications, it might come that I have to sort of move elsewhere. I had always, I think one time I seen a job in Cheltenham's Lady College or Eton, and I think that type of environment with my PhD from Cambridge, I'd love to be able to teach there. I think it would be quite good.
What was it like to go to Cambridge? How did you find that culture?
I enjoyed. I went to Cambridge as a postgraduate from Belfast, and it was quite a shock to the system when I first went there. I loved the sort of college atmosphere, because everybody you walked around with, they were either Nobel Prize winners, and I often my claim to fame was I seen Stephen Hawking zip along past me, and it was great in the sense that the minds and the mindset and the culture, and I learned to cycle there, and I still do, and it's somewhere that if I had a chance, I would love to be like a fellow of Trinity College or St. John's. And my only regret is that when I was at Cambridge, I remember there was the Footlights where the Monty Python team went there. And I often walk past it and I say to myself, why on earth did I not join that? And my career could have been different by now. I learned to punt in Cambridge, but I never actually learned to row properly. But I managed to scramble over three bridges when I was punting, and I was a fit man at 21. And something that I've started back to do is row in Belfast. So I really enjoyed my experience in Cambridge. And to this day, although it was a sort of a very thriving atmosphere, I was surrounded by people who were very determined and I think very, very humorous. And it's an experience that nobody can take away from me.
Can I ask you to summarise your PhD, which
yes.
is just a difficult thing to do, but could you give me a flavour of that?
One of my keen interests when I started my PhD was about heart disease or heart clotting, because in my family with my father, he had a heart attack and had a quadruple bypass. So something that always fascinated me was the sort of like the stop heart disease, and I was interested in sort of blood clotting, and I was interested in sort of like working in sort of like trying to sort of stop heart disease, and it really was what switched me on is that there is the blood sucking leech. Whenever the leech actually grabs onto you in the jungle, it sucks your blood to feed on, but what would happen is your blood would clot. So what happens is the leech makes a wee protein to stop the blood clotting, and this is one of the most potent anticoagulants known to man. So from that I started working in blood coagulation, and then I moved into other areas like trying to prevent cancer. I postdoced in a place called Strangeways Research Laboratory in Cambridge, and worked on arthritis, anti-arthritis compounds, and also worked in aspects of Alzheimer's. So basically anything that was to do with medical research, I always wanted to discover something new. And when I was in Cambridge, the great bit about the environment there was you always felt that you were discovering something that nobody else had discovered around the world.
You're from Belfast, is that where you were born?
Yes, I was born originally in Lisburn, which is only about 10 miles out of Belfast, but I when I finished my PhD and I worked as a postdoc in England, I returned to Belfast on the 1st of October 1998. That was just on the end of the ceasefire. And I returned there to start as a lecturer. And things had changed in Belfast then, since when I was growing up. So at that stage, I've been in Belfast since 1st of October 1998. And sort of been working and living there in South Belfast, mainly in Stranmillis, or is where I live at the minute. But at the current situation, I've got to the age of 38. The advantage or the disadvantage I have, depending on your viewpoint, is I'm not married, I don't have children, so therefore I don't have any responsibilities at the minute. So therefore I might want to travel further or see if I can find another job elsewhere. My dream job, which I got interviewed one time, was on the West Coast in San Francisco. I nearly got there, but they flew me all over there, and that was ages and ages ago. But the reason is I would always love to live somewhere where it's close to the coast and I could take up surfing.
Why surfing?
I'm a keen swimmer, and something about me, I could sit there, one, get a tan, and two, sort of balance myself in a surfboard. Maybe I need to dye my hair blonde and become a surf bum or something like that. But I think since doing the yoga and sort of getting interested, I wouldn't class myself as very aspirational, that I want big houses and big cars. I just want to be content and happy in life. And to me, content and happy in life might be just sitting there reading the Saturday papers and having a cappuccino.
How would you describe yourself?
Well, I have been described to be eccentric, maybe because I have a wide knowledge and I like to talk a lot. I like to sort of enthuse, and I like to sort of be spontaneous. And I would class myself, I have been classed as an iconoclast. In other words, I don't follow trends. I try to make my own trends and I try to be an individual. Sometimes if you do that, people feel that you are an outsider, which is why whenever I work as a teacher or a lecturer, I always warm to somebody who is classed as the outsider. Maybe somebody in the school who wants to dye their hair purple, or wants to be a goth, or wants to be different than the rest. I always praise that person, because usually they're intelligent and usually they're wanting to make themselves unique.
What kind of impact do you hope this project will have on your life, you're taking part in it, do you think?
Well, I think for myself, this past year has been rather troublesome for me, in the sense that there has been a rather more downs than ups, and there has been a complete change since last September, when I was very down in the dumps, and this is one of the reasons why I took up yoga. So I feel after this year that this is sort of a pinnacle, that I have confidence, that I'm sitting up there in the plinth. I'm happy with myself. I'm happy with that I can sort of meditate and be positive, and sort of hopefully there are people out there that I've met over this past year that are willing to stay up to 4 o'clock in the morning and watch Dr. Fox meditate on the plinth.
Who are you doing this for?
Well, I think I'm doing this possibly for myself, in the sense that I did agonize over it, whether when I got the offer and I had to accept it, whether I should go through it. And then I said I have to, because it's a one in a lifetime opportunity. I think it shows, especially for my family, especially my mother, my father, and my two brothers, that I am a better person now than they would have seen last year. I was a very negative person last year, and now I'm a more positive person. And I do hope that my brother, the other Dr. Fox, my middle brother, David, is, I think, set his alarm to wake up at 4 o'clock to watch his older brother. Because this past year, I got a sense of praise when I told my mother that I was on the plinth, and I was very impressed that she even knew about it, because she had read about it in the paper. So I've made my own way down here, I've been around here, yes, at 4 o'clock in the morning, but it has to be done. I think maybe it has been quoted before, whether Andy Warhol says we're all going to be famous for 15 minutes or whether that's been misquoted. Well, this is my moment of fame, or my hour of power, as somebody said, and that I works in a coffee shop and serves me coffees all day.
I'm wondering whether to ask, I don't know if you want to say, but you mentioned a couple of times that you've been down in the dumps this
yes.
past year. Would you like to say anything about that, seeing as you mentioned it, or not? What sort of, how you overcame that, or
well,
what that was about?
It was a combination of a lot of things happening in my life, sort of family situation, work situation, personal life as well. And before I started to do the yoga and I went back swimming again, I was a wee bit more overweight. I was actually very overweight. And I was probably not very confident in myself, in the sense I was lacking sort of self-confidence and probably lacking self-esteem, which was probably one of the major issues. So when I started to do the yoga each week and I started to swim better and I started to sort of change my lifestyle of sort of eating, I started to lose weight and then I started to dress myself better and get my confidence back. And I think at the minute I probably have more self-confidence that I can sit there up in the plinth, that maybe a year ago or 2 years ago I would not have had the confidence. So over the past year, I have been sort of down, and sometimes it's been helpful where my brother and my family have helped me out, and friends that I've made on the way through different classes that I've went to have sort of improved and helped me out. And I feel more positive in myself, and these days I just seek every opportunity. Maybe if I had been offered to go in the plinth, I might not have even applied 2 years ago. I think now I feel more positive in myself, and a lot of it I think is to do with the fact that I took up yoga and I met a lot of like-minded people.
And what's important for you now going forwards with your life?
Well, at the minute going forward in my life is I feel more positive myself, that I try to see any opportunities and seize them and not sort of feel despondent that what feel that if life is throwing itself at me. And I now value that I'm 38. I often joke that I might be going through a midlife crisis, but at what age do you go through a midlife crisis? Is this a pre-midlife crisis? But I'm not too sure. But I feel more positive myself. Although I'm single at the age of 38 and I've met a good number of my friends who are married with children, I'll see what happens, comes out of that. Maybe round the corner, you never know. It was quite funny, at least one of my brothers got married this year. So at least one of us did. Whether I do or I meet Miss Wright, well, we'll see what happens. She might be watching tonight.
And any closing words, finally, before you go up there?
Well, my closing words is I'm supposed to be the doppelganger or the lookalike for either Robin Williams or Martin O'Neill, the Aston Villa manager, which has been commented on. And I think Robin Williams in one of his famous movies says carpe diem, or seize the day. I think seize the day.
Thank you very much.